great to be home. It is wonderful to be able to turn on the tap and drink the water. Bernie instructed us when we went that when we brushed our teeth, we could not use water coming from the tap. You're supposed to pour the bottled water on your toothbrush. And I mess that up almost every time. It's just automatic to put the toothbrush on the toothpaste, turn on the water, put it on your tooth, and start brushing your teeth. And I had to tell Bernie I blew it, and I'm still here, though, so far. I just want to read a few verses of Scripture. I'm going to start in Titus chapter 2. If you have your Bibles, you can turn with me there. If you don't, just listen. Titus chapter 2 and verse 11. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. Jesus Christ saved us for a reason, and he saved us to do good works. And that's why he's called us and saved us, and that's the reason why we went to Nicaragua to simply do good, to help other people. Look with me at Titus chapter 3 and verse 1. Remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good. If you look with me at Titus chapter 3 and verse 4, one of my favorite passages of Scripture on what God did for us when he saved us. When the kindness and love of our God, when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy, saved us through the washing of rebirth, renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying. I want you to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. Read one more passage of Scripture, and this was a passage of Scripture read to us at the mission trip by Dr. Garcia, whose mission compound we stayed at. He had an orphanage, which was closed down by the government. He had 80 orphans. The government took over all the orphanages. And instead, he now has a preschool ministry, which has 1,000 kids in it. And he wants to expand that to 1,200. But this was a verse that he said was dear to his heart, which he read to us, and it's this, James chapter 1, verse 27. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. So today you're going to hear about good works, and you're going to hear about helping out children and helping out widows. Each member of the team is going to speak. I've given them a time limit, which I don't know if they'll stick to. There's a time limit. I've given them assigned topics to speak on, and Bernie is going to end up by speaking at the end. He was our team leader, and we had a wonderful time, and hopefully I don't have to say anything else, because you get to hear from me all the time, and you'll hear from me in the future, but this is a chance for them just to share what God did through us and what God did in them. So we're going to start with Joanne, then Dan, Sheila, Brian, and then Bernie.
It's wonderful to be back. I can't tell you how excited we were to see all of you, but we were so excited when we ran into each other. And that's a real blessing to have made connections and built relationships like that, and I really appreciate that. I want to just start quickly. David didn't say I could say this, but I just wanted to say thank you. Thank you for everything you did for us, and all the thank yous we received in Nicaragua, I want to pass them on to you. Thank you for having a heart for the Lord and having a heart for missions. Thank you for sending us with your blessings and with your prayers, and praying not just for us, but for the people of Nicaragua. And thank you for the gifts. This trip just wouldn't have been possible without you. And I want you to know God did a work, not just with the people of Nicaragua, but in our hearts and with the team. I get to talk to you today about sewing, which is a passion of mine. It was something I was able to do while we were down there. Originally, we'd had planned one sewing class. We were able to take down two new machines. Initially, I'd been told 20 were coming for the sewing. 33 ladies showed up, so we had a bit of scrambling. They were wonderful. They were patient and kind with my inability to speak any Spanish. They took all the time they needed to let me use my sign language and catch them, and so they were very kind, and we had a wonderful time. That evening, Dr. Garcia came and said, well, a couple of the ladies said they'd like to come again for sewing. So I said, well, that's fine. Luckily, I'd shoved in some extra cotton in my bag. That's fine. I'll come up with something, and we'll sew. And then he came to me the next day and said, well, they want to come two more times. So I scrambled and put together just a pattern. But honestly, they didn't even care what we did. They just loved being together. They loved having me there. I loved being with them. We just got to know each other, and they just were so patient and so kind. And these were all the same ladies that taught Sunday school, and we just kind of bonded and just really enjoyed each other's time together. Another thing David and I got to do that the rest of the team didn't get to do is visit our Compassion Child. I don't know how many of you sponsor a child or use Compassion, or there's other agencies that do this this kind of work, but we were thrilled with the privilege of being able to visit our child. We made contact with Compassion about 6 months ago, and emails back and forth, they arranged it all. The day of the visit came, they sent a van, they sent a translator, they sent a driver that can get a van through the eye of a needle. It was amazing. So he got us to Managua, where our Compassion Child is, and the translator said, he's waiting, he didn't go to school today, he's waiting for you at home, but we were late. So she got a phone call when we were about half an hour out and said, he's not at home anymore, he's worried we're not coming, so he's run over to the project in case he missed you. So we pull up to locked doors, and you wouldn't have even known it was the project, and you knock on the door and someone unbolts it from inside and lets you in, and the Compassion Director was there with the workers and they showed us around. And what a marvelous job they do. They took us through the kitchen where they feed the children. They have about 295 children they feed during the week. They showed us a binder of all the progress our child is making. They, because of our money, they can give him health care, and they track him through school and make sure he's doing okay, and they guide him spiritually, and they check up in the home and make sure everything's okay. It was a marvelous thing to see that these people who have nothing themselves are working with the children right in that area, who live there as poor as they are. They're not pulling the children out, they're staying right there in that area, in that poverty, and working with the kids, and it was a real blessing to see that. But that was nothing compared to the joy we had in meeting our child. And we were able to visit with him in his home, with his mom and dad, with his four brothers and sister. We took maybe 20 minutes to visit in their home, gave them a few little gifts, and then took them out for lunch. And it was just wonderful to see kids being kids. You know, the first thing he did was elbow his brother, and, you know, it was just kids being kids. But it was just a joy to be with them, and we know now how better to pray for him, you know, how to encourage him in our letters, how important our letters are. It just really hit home what this ministry does, and we were very privileged to be able to do that. During my time, my quiet times in Nicaragua, I was reading the book of James. I love the book of James. And I'll just read the verse that stood out to me the most, and it's James 1:22. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourself. And this is a challenge to me to put my faith into action, to keep walking and doing. And I thank you one last time for allowing us to go.
Yes, I too would like to thank you for the opportunity that we all had to go. And I want to tell you about a couple of things. We had a day on Wednesday, was a sports ministry day. It's like a day camp kind of a thing. And we had approximately 100 kids come in. I should tell you before this, on the night before, our translators tried to teach us a couple of songs that we're going to be doing for the kids. And they were with actions and dancing. Well, to see Pastor Dave and Brian and me, that's kind of Larry, Moe, and Curly, trying to dance, wow. The kids really appreciated it. They laughed a lot when they saw us the next day. But we had to learn the songs. And anyway, on the Wednesday, about 100 kids and some parents came marching through the gate. And we had them for the day. We split up into teams. Pastor Dave and I were leading one team, and other people were on the teams. We had about 18, 19 kids on a team. And there was 5 different stations that we went to in the day. We played baseball for half an hour, and then at each stop, some of the local young people that were there helping us, we'd play baseball for half an hour, then they'd take the kids over to the side, sit them down in a circle, and one of these young people, Christian young people, would present a Bible story to them. And then we went on to the next place. We played volleyball, we played soccer, we had running races and a water race. Each time the kids were sat down and presented a Bible story. So that took three of those were in the morning, 2 in the afternoon. We stopped for lunch. We served all the children lunch. We ate the lunch with them, chicken and rice. We seemed to have a lot of chicken and rice. I had chicken and rice yesterday, actually. I kind of missed it, but a lot of those kids don't even get lunch. So to feed them, it was something. In the afternoon, there was a break, and we gave them ice cream, a cup of ice cream, like a styrofoam cup and a spoon, and the looks on their faces, probably some of them, I don't know how often, if ever, they get ice cream. So it was a privilege doing that. On the way out, a lot of the stuff that you gave money towards buying that we took in our hockey bags, we had divided all that up the day after we came, took the whole day to sort all that stuff out, and as each child left, they were given a little backpack with a t-shirt, with a toothbrush, toothpaste, some candies, school supplies, all that was packed in a pack for each child, and we lined up down the road going back out to the gate, all of us lined up. And each child went by us and said thank you. Some of them hugged us. Some of them kissed us. It was just, just really touching. And so wonderful to be part of that. And again, thank you for all what you gave to provide those children for that, with all those things. The other part of the ministry that I'm going to talk about, I was privileged to be part of the we did 11 widow baskets, but they weren't baskets. They were yellow bags, about 80 pounds. It took 2 of us to carry them. And there were foodstuffs. We had divided those up, 20 pounds of rice, 20 pounds of beans, 10 pounds of sugar, some soap, toilet paper, cooking oil, other things. So it was a huge, big bag. And Dr. Garcia, who has all the contacts with the churches down there, these widows were chosen from these churches. Sometimes the pastors came with us that would be the pastor of that lady. We went into their houses, a variety of houses. Out of 11, I got to go to 8. And I'd like to tell you about each one, but I don't have time for that. But let me tell you about a couple of them. The one we went to, a lady had just, she was in town in a, this is one of the better houses, actually a cement block house with a couple of rooms, some furniture that we could sit down on. She had just had a gallbladder operation 8 days before, and And her granddaughter was there living with her. Her daughter was there, her granddaughter, his great-granddaughter. She had a grandson that, 15 years old, that just has gone through his third bout of cancer and had to go to Managua the next day. And we presented her with this stuff. And it's these folks are, most of these widows are longtime Christians. They pray for us. We pray for them. Our translator is right there, Dr. Garcia, because when we first go in there and he says, what do you want to say to them? Most of us are standing there crying. You know, say something. What am I going to say? You know, but it was great that they even prayed for us. But we didn't know till afterwards. We found out that this particular lady, she had no food left in the house. She had nothing. And this bag we brought on the day, she had nothing. And then, of course, when Dr. Garcia found out that the boy had to go to Managua an hour away the next day, he paid his way to go there right away. But there was a story in every one like that. We were in some very, very poor houses that we wouldn't even call houses. We wouldn't have a shed like that on our property that they live in. But I got to go to the one. Bernie had a team down there in August, and they had built this lady's house. She was at the end of a street in town. I never saw the original house. Apparently, it was 9 by 9, 9 feet square, and just a little shack. And I guess when the people got there, they couldn't exactly rebuild it. I guess they took it down anyway. They made it. She's got four times as much space now, and so it's. The tin roof, and you know, it's so much more than she had. And this lady, Elba was her name, 87 years old, Bernie? Yeah, 87. And just so appreciative. And one of her prayers, we heard this, Bernie said later, he hadn't seen her now since the folks had done this for her. And she was afraid that she would die before she saw Bernie to thank him. And this was back in August. And when they built the house, the team, something like ours, went down, helped build this house. When the neighbors saw what was going on, some of the locals came to help as well, knowing that it was through the church. And so some of these folks got interested in going to the church because of the building project. We weren't there talking to them, I'm sure you weren't there giving out literature to them, but they saw Christ in action through the team. And so all sorts of benefits happened. So when we went in, and again, Dr. Garcia was translating for us, and this lady was just beaming when she saw Bernie, just beaming, and just thinking. She prayed for us. We prayed for her. But then something happened that it was just, it's hard to tell you. I chose that song this morning, the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. And that's what we've been told all our Christian lives, right? Sometimes we're the only Jesus that people see. Is that right? You've heard that, right? Sometimes that's the only case. And to act Christ-like is, we don't always do that. But this lady was just so appreciative and so just overwhelmed and Bernie was standing at her side. She kind of had her hand out, and Bernie was holding her hand, and she wasn't looking at Bernie, or at least Bernie wasn't looking at her. Bernie wasn't looking at her. She was talking to us, and then we were standing watching all this and full of emotion, and she bent down and she kissed Bernie's hand. It was like he was conveying God's love, and she was just so appreciative. And so, I mean, he was living out, you know, the song that we would be like Jesus. And it was such a privilege to see that and to experience that. And again, we had stories at every house like this, just something different. One old man, we went way out in the boonies. Bernie hadn't been there either, and good thing we had four-wheel drive, and it was way out. This man had nothing, 86 years old, one old man, never had a Bible. We gave him a Bible. He was praying for us. The church was way back in town. I mean, we had a hard time getting there with a four-wheel drive, and this man was just just old, bent-up man, no shoes on, and he prayed. And what he was sorry about in his prayer, Dr. Garcia told us afterwards, that he couldn't get to church other than on Sunday. He wanted to go during the week to be with the believers, but he couldn't get there. Well, I'm surprised he could get there on Sunday. I mean, the walk was horrendous. And we sometimes use every excuse not to be in God's house, right? What excuse do we have when we see a man like that? But it was a real privilege to be there again. Thank you to the church for your support, for all of you. Thank you.
Again, I want to say thank you for all your prayers and your encouragement. And when I came back, every time I saw somebody at the mall or I saw somebody around, how was your trip? Was it great? And I'm like, I don't know how to explain everything. I don't think I'll ever be able to explain everything, because there's so many things that happen to us that just, I think that we'll only know. We'll only be able to have it in our hearts. We'll never be able to share with you, unfortunately. I wish we could. It means you all have to go so you can understand. So much to tell you. And I noticed that Dave has 2 points, and then he had number 3, and there's nothing there. So that means I can just throw something in, right? Okay. So... what I wanted to say first was, when Huron Baptist and Parkway Pentecostal got together, we were just a group of people going on a mission trip. And after our first day in Nicaragua, we were a team, because that first day we worked so hard and we were so efficient, we were getting everything together. We had all those bags to unpack. We had 14 hockey bags to unpack and sort through, and we worked so well together and we were encouraging each other. And then after all the experiences and emotions we shared during that weekend, there was a lot, we came back a family. We left part of our family behind, though, because we got to know some amazing people in Nicaragua. We got to know our interpreters and our cooks and just everybody that we came in contact with. I can't believe we got so close to people so fast, but it was heartbreaking to leave them behind. And the great thing about Facebook is that I have friended at least 2 people from Nicaragua, and I'll be able to keep in touch with them. So I'm really excited about that. And I saw someone from our team this week at the mall, and she ran around the counter. She was working there, and she gave me a big hug. She says, "Oh, it's so good to see you, and I miss you already, and we got to get together for a coffee and talk." And I think that's how we all feel. We're just so excited to see each other because it was such an amazing experience. I'm supposed to talk about 2 things, and now we were involved in everything, and it's very hard not to tell you each one of our little experiences, because we have so many in everything we did. But one thing I'm going to talk to you is about our Sunday school training. So I'm going to flip over here. So our Sunday school training was on the Saturday. A lot of the stuff that we took down was for that. We put together bags for the women that we were able to teach. Now, when I say teach, a lot of these women teach Sunday school already. We had a wide group of ages there. There were some that had been teaching for years and years and years, and there were some fairly young girls there, too, that were learning how to teach Sunday school. So what we were doing is we were just giving them ideas, really. We were trying to give them ideas on how to be encouraged and use their gifts, how to work with children, and so on. So we were kind of sharing the gifts, and we were all very nervous. I mean, it's a lot to stand up in front of people and teach them. And we each had, there was 30 women there. And so we were very nervous, and we went down. And the first thing I said to my group of women is, "I'm sorry if I make a mistake," because I was trying to pronounce one of the verses in Spanish. And I got pretty good at it by the end of the day. But they kind of laughed and forgave me and tried to teach me the right way to do it. My friend on the team, Janice, and I were grouped together, and we were supposed to teach one part. Joanne put together the whole thing, so we were thankful for that. And what she taught was how to know about your gifts and how to use your gifts and how to be open to trying different things in Sunday school. My part of it was to be able to teach how to get kids to memorize verses, games, and all of these different things. We had a fantastic interpreter. Her name was Abby. She was a lot of fun and very, very patient. And by the end, I think she could have stood up there and did the whole thing for us. because she had it down pat by the time we were done. One of the great things was we were trying to encourage them is to use each other, talk to each other, get ideas from each other. And some of these women gave us ideas. And a couple of them sang us a song in our group to show us. And I thought, wow, that's a great idea. I'll take that back and share that with someone. So they really touched us. When they got there first thing in the morning, they shook our hands. I think one woman, Carolina, wasn't it? She's the only one that gave us a hug. By the time we were done, every woman was hugging us. Everyone was giving us a kiss on the cheek. They were just so very thankful, and we were so very thankful because we got a lot from them, too. We got to share a lot with them. We had lunch with them, and my table was so much fun, and they were asking us all kinds of questions. Like, so what do you typically eat in Canada? Oh, so that was a hard one. So we were trying to explain to them all these fun things, and we were joking and having a good time. And it was sad to see them go. It was kind of like, well, there go our friends, you know. We didn't want to say goodbye. The sewing was in the afternoon, and Joanne did a great job with that. One thing that I learned is that just because you don't know how to do something doesn't mean that you can't learn how to do something, or that God's not going to make you do it anyway. I have no idea how to sew. So doing the sewing ministry was a bit of a challenge for me, but I learned how to thread a bobbin this week. It was amazing, and I know that part now, and I'm like begging Joanne to teach me how to sew now because I have no idea how to do anything else. I smiled and nodded, and I went and made puppets with the other girls because I had no idea how to sew, but it was a lot of fun, and so we really enjoyed that. The other thing we did was preschool teaching. Pastor Dave talked about the preschool. On the site that we were on, they had a preschool there, and Dr. Garcia's church had a preschool there as well. The woman who was teaching the Bible story to the kids, she was pregnant, and her doctor told her she needed to go on bed rest because of some sort of complication. And so all of a sudden we were teaching preschool, and that's fine because the one thing you learn down there is you got to be flexible, and you got to be ready, and if God wants you to do something, you're open to it. And you say, okay, I'll do that. And like the group that was doing it the first, they had like, 15, 20 minutes to prepare? And that wasn't me, thank goodness. But we did it three times. And we taught these kids, and they're wonderful kids, and they have the biggest smiles, and they listen so well. And each time we did it, they sang us a song. And we didn't understand, but we loved the fact that they were into God's word, and they knew the story, and they had a great time with it. And these kids learn about God through preschool, and that's a wonderful thing there because, you know, at home, they don't get that kind of teaching in preschool. And so it's like the first step is to teach your kids when they're that young, and then they'll carry it with them forever. So that was an amazing ministry as well. The number three is something that I learned was, I call it the little wows. When we're in ministry, sometimes we're always looking for God to give us the big wow. We want that whole lightning flash. We want to see the big things that God's doing. And what I saw all week were the little wows, the little things. And it's hard to explain all the little wows, but things would happen in our group, and we're like, wow, I got that. But you couldn't see the little wows unless you were listening really closely and unless you were paying attention. And unless you were focusing on God, because then you got the little wows. So that's one thing I learned this week. I also learned what God said to me is he has a plan. Bernie told us a number of times that God put our group together for a reason. He put us in the right place at the right time. We met the people he wanted us to meet. He put those people in our lives and put us in their lives, and it was an amazing experience. And he put it all together, and we had no choice. We just go with it, and that was great. And the thing that I'm trying to bring home is to be open to his plan here, because I have to keep listening. I have to be quiet and have to keep listening and not let all the daily life things get in the way all the time. So thanks very much.
What can I say about the mission trip? But wow, it was truly amazing. I went down to Nicaragua with rather high expectations. These expectations were met and exceeded. I went to Nicaragua all set to work hard and come back with a sense of satisfaction for a job well done. Well, God had a different plan for me. A slip of a knife while opening a package of pliers sent me off to the clinic to get 5 stitches in the middle finger of my left hand, which happened to be a first for Bernie and Dr. Garcia, taking one of his crew to the clinic. But I went from supervisor or worker to supervisor just like that. First day of the work project started with a devotional from Janice about Moses, how God had chosen him and he didn't feel he was right for the task. God does not choose the equipped, he equips the chosen. Was a perfect statement as we as a group went about the various tasks that we had to perform that day. The challenge was putting some very eager people into jobs outside of their comfort zones, as Bernie would put it. And we had an assortment of people to deal with: a pastor, a retired school teacher, a process operator, a housewife, or domestic engineer, as they prefer being called, a student, a Walmart employee, and a nurse. So we had the pastor cutting wood with a skill saw, mixing cement Nicaraguan style, which was quite entertaining. Teacher swinging a hammer and cutting wire. The operator installing framework, siding, and digging a trench. The domestic engineer tying rebar and digging a trench. Student moving debris, installing framework, and mixing cement. And the nurse swinging a pickaxe and laying cement blocks. Then there was a language barrier, which the interpreters helped to bridge flawlessly. Ahmed on the first job and Francis on the second job were fabulous to deal with. They were everywhere, always on the go, and made dealing with the homeowners and the BICA, which is the Bible Institute crew down there, a real pleasure. They were a real tribute to Bernie and Dr. Garcia and how these trips were organized. Then getting the work crews to the work sites was left in the skilled hands of Don Pablo, our driver. He made Mario Andretti proud. The way he weaves the van through a constantly changing traffic environment. You have cars, trucks, bicycles, taxis, horses and carts, people and animals, constantly weaving out in an endless ballet of metal and flesh. Driving in Nicaragua was an adventure unto itself. Next, the meals on the road. Since we were often 45 minutes to an hour away from the compound, we had to have lunches shipped into us. The two ladies that prepared our meals worked from about 6 o'clock in the morning to 8 o'clock at night each day and made sure we were fed and some very tasty meals both at the compound and on the road. Let's see. They also looked after doing cleaning at the compound as well. We also learned that after the first work day to watch the meals closely as they came onto the work site, as Dan ended up short a meal. But we were able to scrape together enough energy bars and granola bars for him to get through the day. The last barrier were the tools or lack thereof, but we learned to share and wait. This gave us more time to interact with the BICA crews and the homeowners, which was an absolute delight. The work sites were tight and crowded with adults, kids, and animals constantly moving around. With all the confusion, we still managed to get the 2 work projects done and bless 2 families with new homes. First was a family which had prayed for 4 years for a new home and received it. Before, they were living 4 people in a 6.5-foot square area with 1 bed. They now have a 13-by-16-foot house with 2 rooms. The second was a homeowner that was giving part of his bicycle repair shop over to his daughter and his new son-in-law. And in the end, I could not have been happier with how the work crews pulled together and got the jobs done despite the difficulties. This trip was one of the most worthwhile and spiritually uplifting events of my life, and I'm glad to have done it and hope to do it again. And I'd just like to say thank you again for all your support and your help to make the mission trip possible. Thanks.
Well, it's good to be here in the house of the Lord. I didn't know I was speaking this morning until I came in, but at the same time, I'm really thankful because if you really read the New Testament, whenever Paul went out on a missionary journey, he always went back to Jerusalem to report to the people the good things that God has done. And that's what I'm here to do today. You already heard from the people that you sent as a congregation. And let me tell you that it was powerful and effective what God accomplished through these folks and through all of you by extension. Were any of you praying for us while we were gone? Can I actually have a show of hands? All the things that you saw that were accomplished was because of your prayers. And God has taught me in the last 5.5 years of doing missions that without your faithfulness and your prayers, it's kind of impossible for God to move. And because you were praying and so effective in that, we were so much more effective. We accomplished not only what we set out to do, but more as God directed us. When I came back, I told the pastor of my church at Parkway, and I told my wife, this was my best trip ever. My best trip with your people and two churches coming together in a community that went to serve a community and allowed the love of God to shine in their lives powerfully and effectively that literally touched the lives of hundreds of people that we came in contact with, but literally even more the thousands that were influenced by the work that God accomplished. And there's nothing like that in this world. And there have been great reports of things that I was able to be a part of, but whenever that comes my way, and a thankfulness for what I was able to accomplish and what God's called me to do, is God gets the glory, not me. Because he alone could only accomplish what happened in Nicaragua. And not just in Nicaragua, but building the church, the group as we came together in the months before, all the donations that you provided, your prayers, your faithfulness, it came together at a moment in time that God had chose before the creation of this world to accomplish his purpose that his name would be glorified in Nicaragua. And it was. And that is the greatest joy that I have. It's that joy unspeakable that when you actually are in the very presence of God's will for your life, that he provides every bit of ounce of energy and strength you would need. There was those days that Joanne would come to me and say, Bernie, I did a bad thing. So at least she confessed, and we're able to work through that. The odd thing that your pastor would do that, you know, was similar, so keep praying for them, that God will continue to accomplish his will. But I just knew that I was in the right place at the right time with these people. And more than what we did for Nicaragua, and they were so thankful, the reports of one of the Sunday school teachers who said she had been praying for that Sunday school training. Does anybody know for how long that she was praying for that? 30 years. And the sad part of that is that nobody stepped up to do that. But then when the opportunity came, we came. And we accomplished that. She even said that she never thought she'd see it in her life. That's the power of God working in their hearts and lives. But even more for me, and part of the ministry of Missions for Life, which means living intentionally for eternity, is not just doing mission trips and going to a country, but what God's going to do in each one of our hearts, that we would change our focus to him completely, that everything we do has an impact on eternity. And for me, my greatest joy was watching God work in each one of the people that went on the trip, and that their relationship to him grew stronger. So thank you, Huron Baptist Church, for all your support. We look forward to, as God's will would allow, that we would continue to work together to accomplish even greater things from him. And I know I'm willing, and I know there's others express that willingness. And again, from Missions for Life, we just say thank you so very much. And continue to pray for us. Continue to pray for brothers and sisters. And take some time to get to hear their personal story where they get to fully share their heart. And we just look forward to seeing you more and more. The brothers and sisters in Nicaragua love you all very much. And keep praying for them because they need your help and support. So thank you so very much.